Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Annex Wealth Management is a local fee-only fiduciary providing investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. Know the difference. Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Flying by the seat of their pants at the Fed and SpaceX ready for takeoff. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Great to have you here. I'm Joe Kraus, Chief Economic Strategist. Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. Hey, Brian.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Of course, Brian, it's Memorial Day weekend, and so a lot that we should be thankful for, you know. Years ago, they used to have these poppies that people would wear, right? And that was started in England many, many years ago. And that kind of fell off in the last 30 or 40 years. But that was a thing that people would wear a poppy.
Yeah, you know, I remember my mom telling me about how when she was little, they would sell them, right? And it was a way to raise money, give out the poppies and all that. Yeah, it's a tradition that I'd kind of like to see come back.
Right, for sure. So it fell out of favor, but you have to remember that the sacrifices that were made for all of us at this point. So, Joe, you set up the show nicely. There's a lot to talk about. Of course, everyone wants to talk about NVIDIA, and we'll get to that. But when you think about the energy shock and the war, perhaps wars, and the Treasury yield spiking, yet the markets continue to set new highs, especially after the NVIDIA earnings this past week.
Yeah, the NVIDIA earnings, I think, were almost one of the bigger risks to the market this past week than all of the other topics that are obviously front of mind for a lot of people as far as gasoline prices, the Strait of Hormuz, Russia, Ukraine, all of that. We also have a midterm election year. But it was really, I think the market was a little worried about with NVIDIA, were the expectations too high? But once again, they surpassed those expectations. And I think it just really goes to show that what is worrying investors is not always what worries the market, right? Because as individual investors, we tend to focus very much on the headlines about the news and what really has been coming out of Washington, D.C. But if you keep your eyes on the fundamentals, pay attention to the valuations, and obviously have a good risk management plan. I mean, those are like the three pillars of how we invest, right? That, I think, can help you kind of keep your calm when it seems like there's plenty to get worked up about.
And there is. And of course, lots of conversations about inflation. And on Friday, Kevin Warsh was sworn in by President Trump. And you think about the past, at least that I can remember, and I think there's probably seven of them. It goes all the way back to Paul Volcker.
Yeah.
Of course, you remember Paul Volcker in the 70s, Alan Greenspan, Ben Bernanke, Janet Yellen, Powell, and now Kevin Warsh. So he's on a short list over the last 50 years of people, and he has a tough job, probably tougher than those Treasury secretaries had because of the different opinions of those governors.
Yeah, it is not a house that is united when you look at the Federal Reserve. We have not seen this type of disagreement since basically 1992. That was the last time that there was a policy statement that came out with the number of dissents that we just recently had. And that's what Kevin Warsh is inheriting. When I think back, Paul Volcker in the 1970s, he had a very tough job because that's when you had the stagflation, right? The stagnating economy, high inflation. He broke the back of inflation, handed the baton to Alan Greenspan in 1987. 1987 is very much known for that October 1987 crash.
Right.
That was not Alan Greenspan's fault. I think that was some of those
exuberance. The irrational exuberance speech in 1985.
That's right. Yeah. So he, I think, inherited from Paul Volcker the credibility that was built, pretty decent economic conditions, setting the stage for the 1990s, passing the baton to Ben Bernanke around 2006, pretty decent environment. We obviously then had the global financial crisis, but then handing it to Yellen, from Yellen to Powell, each handoff hasn't been seamless, but
Made mistakes.
Oh, yeah,
argue that the last number of Federal Reserve chairs have made mistakes.
They have, yeah. I would 100% agree about that. They're fallible human beings,
right?
They've made mistakes. But this seems like a little bit more challenging handoff, just given the context of the discord on that committee. When we got the minutes from the last meeting of the Federal Reserve, those came out this past week, it really did show that it is a house divided, where there are those individuals, right? Everybody kind of agrees, yes, if inflation stays elevated for too long, it makes sense to hike rates. But where they disagree is how likely is that going to happen? There are some who think that, well, we should really be worried about inflation expectations. High oil prices affect people's mentality about their outlook for inflation, so we should probably maybe preemptively hike. That's a small minority of those officials, but he's going to have to deal with how vocal those individuals can be as well. So he's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, I've always kidded with you, Brian, that you and I could be Federal Reserve chairs if you just follow the 10-year Treasury,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And here you are at 4.6, 4.7% on a 10-year. They really can't lower rates.
Yeah, you think about where the federal funds rate is right now. So that's their target rate. It's an overnight rate, 3.5 to 3.75%. You have the 10-year Treasury. It has moved up to about 4.6%. The way that I'm looking at that 10-year Treasury, right, this year we have near-term inflation concerns, but also a lot of issuance of bonds, right? Things are still driven by classic supply and demand. A lot more supply of bonds from government spending to finance the debt and deficits. Also, we are seeing a big amount of capital expenditures, so businesses investing in property, plant, equipment. And that means more issuance of bonds. And so it kind of stands to reason that you should see this upward pressure. Now, how much higher do we go? The way that I'm looking at it is this inflation pressure is likely going to give ease over the course of the summer. I don't know when the oil is going to flow.
You get a settlement of the war.
Exactly.
That would be the one. But you know, your favorite banker, Jamie Dimon,
yes,
we laugh, right? Said it could keep going from here. But
so I have to be much more charitable to the guy, and it's mostly because I think he gets taken out of context a lot. Right? Mm-hmm. He talks a lot, mm-hmm. and so there's plenty of opportunity to misquote him. And when I was listening to what he said, he's like, yes, rates could go up, but he also said they could also go down.
Yeah.
What he was talking about was risk management.
He
said, as a business, they are prepared for whether or not interest rates go up or down.
Well, that doesn't make a good headline. So
no,
they're
it doesn't.
Never going to say, you know, we're doing risk management of our fixed income portfolio. Who cares about that, right? Well, folks, you know, there's a lot going on. You know, there's energy shock, there's wars, there's treasury yields that are going higher. And of course, on the flip side, you have all of these AI stocks continuing to rise, which is all the reason more that you need to go through your portfolio and make sure that you are aligned correctly with what is happening today. And there's a way to get that done.
And how are these latest headlines affecting what you have worked hard for? Maybe there's something you don't need. Maybe there's something you should know about. Are you paying too much for something? And we've seen that classic mishmash of accounts and can aim to help you feel more organized. Click the Get Started button at annexwealth.com. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Custom-tailored investment and retirement planning from a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. We talk a lot on this show about making smart money choices. It doesn't have to feel overwhelming or complicated. We're here to help. Few simple questions can help bring clarity to your priorities and guide your decisions with a little more confidence. So by slowing down and thinking things through, you can avoid costly mistakes in the future and build a strong financial path moving forward. On the show today, welcome back, Director of Retirement Plan Services, Tom Parks is here. Hey, Tom.
Hello.
What is the first question people should ask before making any money decisions? Because we're hearing a lot of noise. We see a lot of articles, TV, social media, and this seems to be coming up a lot where you got to make smarter choices.
Absolutely. We have a variety of things competing for our limited pool of dollars. You know, so I looked at this thing that was in the Wall Street Journal and they asked a number of questions. They were insightful. So I answered some of them, and I did, according to them, I didn't give all the right answers. That's why this is hard, because it depends on who you're talking to and kind of what you're considering. So they were saying, say you're in a plan that has a matching contribution, and these are your options. You know, should you prepay the credit card balance, prepay your car loan, prepay student loans, or start saving to get the match? And I said, well, I'm a 401k guy. So of course I said, start saving enough to get the match. And that was listed as the correct answer. So one of the things that people look at, I'm a big, you know, me personally, I'm very averse to debt. And some people say you should clean up all your debt before you start saving for the future. I personally disagree with that. I think there's got to be a balance in there somewhere. When you look at the compound growth and just the power that that has over time, the sooner you get in and get started, even if it is only 5%, at least you get that ball rolling. If you have a matching contribution at your company, and I know that dollars are stretched for everybody, but you got to find a way to at least get that going because it's an automatic multiplier on the money that you're putting in.
Do you think companies are doing a good job explaining the importance of 401k to their employees?
It depends on the company. I mean, I look at it as our team. That's on us to help people understand. I think one of the things I tell our clients is if the 401k plan is not benefiting your employees, then you probably shouldn't call it an employee benefit. Communication is a big thing now with social media and all that stuff. There's more information out there than there used to be. But it depends on the level of engagement employer by employer.
Sometimes we need to be reminded to make that match or make smarter decisions. There is a difference. My kids are 10 and 11, and we're talking about the difference between needs and wants. But that applies to everybody at pretty much every age.
Yes, there's this stuff that shows up in my feed on YouTube, and there are people in there, and they're talking about how they're living paycheck to paycheck, and they're sitting in their car, and you can tell they're sitting in a luxury car. And it's like, yeah. Well, what are you talking about? Yes, you're living paycheck to paycheck because you're blowing all of your money on stuff.
So some common mistakes people make when deciding how to spend or invest, are they just not doing it at all? Are they putting too much in, taking too much out, or a mixture of all of that?
I think people just don't pay as much attention to what's going on with all their money as they should. So there are some things, if you've got credit cards and you have a car loan and you've got a mortgage and stuff, those are all things that you need to keep an eye on. Credit card should be a priority. If you are not paying your balance in full every month, you got to figure out a way to get ahead of that. Because once you get behind on credit card payments, it's really hard to catch up. Be very vigilant about that. I also tell people, be careful about your cars because we love cars in this country. And yeah, that's hard to keep up with. My car's a 2018. My wife has a 2014. And there's a happy medium. But basic economics, every dollar that you spend on A is a dollar that you cannot spend on B. And that applies to saving and all that other stuff.
Yeah, having those payments can be tough. You're looking at a place to live, too. Aside from the car payments, I've had car payments, and then I'm not a big car guy, so then I eventually don't have car payments, and it feels wonderful. And on top of the fact that I don't have to pay rent, I do have a mortgage. When do you have that conversation with somebody about, like, hey, maybe it's not a good idea if you rent anymore?
That's an interesting question. So my daughter is 20 years old, and she is renting right now. And it's totally the right thing for her to do. She has no business owning a house right now. She has lots of business living somewhere other than my house. So, you know, there's a yeah, yeah. I would say for her, though, if her plan is at some point to own a home, she needs to be careful about how much is she paying in rent. It's comfortable. You know, it's good. It's not anything you're going to see in a brochure about cool places for 20-year-olds to live. But she's doing it because she has something in the future in mind that she's sacrificing now for something later. So that's a balance there.
Emotion plays a big part in it, too. We talk about the numbers and the dollars and cents, but what role does that play as far as emotion goes and the money decisions, and how can we manage that?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem. So many of these things, they are not money problems. It's really quite simple. Does not mean that it's easy, though. You have to control yourself when you see something that you want to buy, and you got to ask yourself, okay, do I really need it? And I'm not saying that people should only buy things that they need. You know, you want to enjoy your life. If you're going to work, you might as well have some fun with the money as well. Anytime you're going to allocate a big chunk of money to something, ask yourself, what are you giving up in exchange for that? And if you're okay with it, then go for it. But at least ask yourself the question, you know, which sacrifices am I willing to make? And then set about doing it.
Director of Retirement Plan Services here at Annex Wealth Management, Tom Parks, and his team do great work with the 401k. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk. The Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, more in-person events this past week, so thank you if you've joined us. Always love to see you in person. Love to see your questions, too, with our live webinars. In-person events still on the way this month. A Women in Wealth series event, Saving the Family Cottage, navigating difficult family conversations when vacation property is involved. Reserve your spot at annexwealth.com. And our Instant Insight series continues June 5th, talking about June events, jobs, and the economic outlook. Share insights you can actually use and maybe take some action steps, especially when we're talking about something like the sell-in May effect, something that Dr. Brian Jacobson, our chief economic strategist, knows about. And you'll probably be talking maybe a little bit about that in that Instant Insight series.
That's right. It is one of these things that it shows up in the statistics, but it might not be that meaningful or actionable. And oftentimes you're going to see on the news, they talk about sell in May. Is it back in effect? It hasn't really worked all that well over the last few years. And I think that's actually a really healthy reminder. Now, what is it? It basically refers to this tendency in the market. It's an average where from May through October that the returns on the stock market tend to be lower during that period of time than, say, the months of November through April. It's still that the returns are, on average, positive. It's just they're not as positive. And in fact, the average is that you actually get better returns in the market than you do, say, sitting in cash. So I'm not sure exactly how actionable that is. It is a good reminder, though. The market does have seasonalities, but they don't exactly follow the calendar, unfortunately. There's these ebbs and flows as far as the liquidity, different events. And one of the things that when we really dug into the data, during a midterm election year, because you do have a little bit of heightened uncertainty going into that midterm. Is there going to be the change in leadership, you know, the composition of government, flipping of seats? That uncertainty, it tends to be at a peak between that May and October period. And so maybe it's actually the case that that sell in May and go away idea is more for a midterm election year and not for every year. But again, I would not hang my hat on it. I wouldn't necessarily make any portfolio changes. No year is average, right? It might actually be the year that defies the expectations.
Is there data that shows that people have sold in May?
Yes. Where it originates from is the idea that the stockbrokers would want to leave the city of London and go out to their palatial estates and that, you know, during the summertime.
Don't we all? Right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And so less liquidity, you're going to have more volatility in the markets. And maybe that did continue on, but now everything is so automated and computerized. My laptop computer and all those algorithms, they don't need to check out for the summer to go sit on the beach anywhere.
Well, and also we're talking about the tax refund spending peak. May is kind of when a lot of households receive or spend their last refund checks.
That is, when you think about people who are expecting to get a refund, usually they file early, but there are those individuals who wait until like April 15th to file, and we are at the tail end of when we would expect to get and see those refunds. The challenge, though, is this year, it would appear as though a lot of those refund checks have gone to paying the fuel bill instead.
And mattresses. There's always mattress sales on holiday weekends.
That's right.
For whatever reason, it's always a good time to check out a mattress. Why not? Another quick reminder, Saving the Family Cottage, keeping the peace, avoid family conflict with smart planning when multiple heirs share a vacation home. That is June 18th at our Annex Wealth Management headquarters in Brookfield from 6 to 8. Reserve your spot at annexwealth.com. Just click events. Glad you're here with us this morning. Time for news. Let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Planning and investing insight from a fee-only fiduciary. You're listening to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here and happy to welcome to the show Wealth Manager Kent Helene. Hey, Kent.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Kent, you have a very interesting background, especially given that it's Memorial Day weekend. We figured you'd be the perfect person to come on and spotlight some of our talent here, especially your background. Can you talk about how you became a wealth manager?
Yeah. So growing up, Dad was in commercial real estate, talking about economics, and for a while I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and we'd listen to AM radio, and growing up it was all sorts of lessons on the way things probably should be financially, but aren't, or we're getting there sort of thing. And then I went to school, graduated, and was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and realized I was listening to economic audiobooks, and said, well, I guess all things come full circle. So here we are, went back to school for economics, absolutely loved it. It was extremely interesting. And through listening to AM radio, had heard about Annex and then actually decided to apply.
Oh, and I mean, we feel incredibly blessed to have you here. And you also missed a very key part in your development process about your experience in the Marines. Can you just talk a little bit about that? And especially, I'm really interested about lessons that you learned while going through perhaps boot camp and how you apply it and help our clients, coach them through life situations.
Yeah, boot camp obviously puts you out of your comfort zone. And I think you can apply that a lot to either investing in the market or just anything in life. A lot of things that create that uncomfortability. Short-term volatility can very much do that, create that uncomfortable nature of trust the process and look into the future instead of a quarter or a half-year cycle, looking into, hey, this is 10 or 20-year plan that we have laid out for you. Looking at good, strong businesses and making sure that the investment team, such as yourself, is looking at those long-term goals and studying those companies.
And is that really a skill that they kind of almost beat into you as you go through boot camp about trust the process?
I think everything in Marine Corps is beat into you,
That's right, yeah. Well, what about like chain of command? And I'm thinking like division of labor. When you're going through, right, everybody has a part to play. And what about on the team here, almost the team that we can surround clients with to help them through their financial journey?
It's a very interesting point because, yes, I'd say one of the best things the Marine Corps does is division of labor, but then also the decentralized structure. So knowing that one group has a job and knows how to do it and that's their specialty, and another group has their job and that's their specialty, but they all work together towards that common goal. So you might have something like the commander's intent of this is what the mission is. How you accomplish it is up to those individual groups and individual planning. But at the same level, all the teams are working together for whether that's the betterment of the client or the betterment of the mission. You're seeing all those teams pull in the same direction.
Yeah. And do you still keep in touch with people that you were in boot camp with or throughout the Marines? And do you work with people who have that military experience? Do you feel it easier to connect with them just given your common background?
Very much so. Yes. It's very easy to connect. You'd have shared experiences. I do still keep in touch with a couple people that I either went to boot camp with or School of Infantry, and I haven't booted it up in probably 5 years, but I know at one point I was Xbox Live friends with one of my boot camp drill instructors. So
a drill instructor even.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wealth manager Ken Helene, thank you for serving our country.
Thank you. Thank you.
And of course, we thank everybody who has served our country. Having someone ready to answer your questions can make all the difference. Uncertainty with geopolitical situations, inflation or taxes, or you see or hear about something you'd like to pursue. We are here. Click that Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Money Talk is straight talk from a local fee-only fiduciary. It's time to know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Well, artificial intelligence, or AI, isn't just a tech trend. It is reshaping labor markets, productivity, corporate profitability, and even how wealth is created. And for high net worth investors, AI is accelerating both opportunity and some risks as well, forcing portfolios to evolve faster than ever before. And today we're exploring how you might future-proof your capital in an AI-driven economy. And someone who sees a lot of that here at Annex Wealth Management, Senior Wealth Advisor Anthony Malachnik. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, how is AI changing the way high net worth clients think about long-term saving? Because you see a lot of these portfolios with some of our clients here at Annex Wealth Management.
AI is impacting, it seems like, everything in some way, shape, or form right now. And, you know, I was reading an article from the Wall Street Journal, and basically it went back to 2023, and it was looking at productivity growth. How fast is our productivity here in the United States growing? It was basically 2.2% per quarter. Essentially, what economists and investors are saying is our productivity growth keeping up with AI and the advancement from an investor's perspective, or just all of us that are kind of going through this innovation cycle, is, historically speaking, when you look at technology, will we be able to keep up with all of this talk and this craze around AI? And what some economists and some investors actually believe is that let's sit tight, let's hold up. Let's not just assume that we're just going to continue to grow at a rapid pace, because there is some structural things that I think will be worked out and some kinks that will be figured out. And in my opinion, the next 12 to 36 months is going to be a really important time.
It's kind of interesting to watch, though, when something's growing that fast, let's see how it does. You hear the word bubble a lot, but also maybe you want to start taking a look at some of these companies that are able to keep up as far as the productivity you brought up. You know, if the companies are better at the productivity and they're using AI to their advantage, maybe that's something you want to take a look at.
It is. And every business owner or friend that I know, oftentimes we have conversations around these things, and each industry is unique, but most business owners, most leaders of corporations or organizations, people are putting in plans to be able to adapt and try to stay at least up to speed with the amount of innovation that's coming. I think the interesting thing when you look at it from an investment perspective, I've heard some talk about the gold rush, right? Where you think about going back to the gold rush and then really like the picks and shovels and all of the things that happen around this infrastructure that goes into AI. And who are going to be some of the beneficiaries of that?
And if somebody's not familiar with really how AI is affecting businesses, we think AI, just over the past couple of years, let's say 2-3 years ago, we think, oh, what is this ChatGPT website? It's affecting productivity, not just from a computer standpoint, but also robotics and manufacturing and so many different sectors that it can affect.
Yeah, even from smaller manufacturing or smaller business automation, that their CapEx is going up as well. So they're investing. And that's why I say like the next 12 to 36 months across the entire economy, like how is this really going to impact? What is that growth? And then using history as a guide, the concern is, can we keep up essentially with that? And I'm not sure. I think we're all kind of in it together. And we'll see how fast some of this stuff moves.
This is some of the things that we're keeping an eye on here with our continuing education at Annex Wealth Management. And what about future-proofing a high net worth portfolio? You got a lot of money, you start seeing some of this stuff, you get excited. Sometimes our eyes are bigger than our stomach with where we want to put our money and diversify. How are we future-proofing that with high net worth portfolios, really meaning with all of the AI advancements?
Faster and better decision making will be beneficiaries to high net worth clients of ours. Personalized wealth is said, but I think with AI and automation, there's going to be an ability to even go one step beyond that and really tie values, goals, objectives to portfolios, just because we are able to make faster and better decisions using analytics in real time. In retirement, as an example, that's really important, because all of a sudden you stop working, you don't have any income coming in, maybe besides a pension or Social Security, and using analytics to think about all of the different scenarios that could play out. And then not only what are the probabilities that could come out of those scenarios, but beginning to actually try to forecast and predict what might happen. I think that's a fun topic to continue to think around. Obviously, that's excluding things that none of us could ever anticipate. Usually that's some type of geopolitical
life happens
issue. Life happens, exactly.
What are you seeing, though? Are you seeing clients, generally speaking, are they more curious? Are they more excited? Are they more cautious about all of these AI advancements?
Gamut of all. I'd say most do believe it's here to stay at this point. It's not going anywhere. But yes, it is kind of fascinating to see the difference in opinions there as well.
And like we say, every portfolio tells a story. So like you said, you know, the personal beliefs, the personal strategies that you want to take with your portfolio, we can help you have a plan with whatever it may be. He is Anthony Malachnik, Senior Wealth Advisor, one of the many resources we have here for you at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for being on the show again, Anthony.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, glad you found us. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. This is also a podcast on demand. As soon as the show is over, you can download it at the top of the hour. It's been another big month for podcast downloads, so thank you for downloading, or if you're listening on the radio, driving around this weekend. The Axiom, that is our newsletter with our Week in Review video from this show and your email on Sunday morning. Just search Annex Axiom. Doesn't take long to get your name in for that. That's an easy way to be reminded about our weekly content and things, of course, we're watching that probably relate to your situation. Other podcasts, too, like The Wealthiest, Ideas, Strategies, and Decisions of the Wealthy in America. The SWOT podcast, that's every Monday morning. Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats. And the new Women in Wealth podcast featuring special guests helping to empower women through genuine conversations. All those podcasts from Annex Wealth Management, wherever you get your podcast. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here, and CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe. You know, a lot of times when we go in these client meetings, obviously we talk about what's in the portfolio or in the performance and all of these things, but there is a major item that we bring to the table, and that is kind of behavior modifications. And really what I mean by that is people have to make sure that they are on target and they stay on target, and that behavior isn't harmful to their own performance.
Absolutely. And there's been a lot of research in the area of psychology and finance, the intersection of those. It's oftentimes called behavioral finance, about how it is that individual investors can sometimes be their worst enemies when it comes to sticking to a plan. Because if you think about building that plan, number one, how many people actually have a plan?
Right.
I mean, that's a key thing, is get a plan. And then do you have a portfolio aligned with that plan? And can you stick to that plan? And that's one of the areas where I believe that wealth management firms especially can add some value that a lot of people don't really appreciate, which is where, think about what you might have done if you were left to your own devices during different periods of time. Like this past week, I had the real pleasure of giving a presentation to a group of credit managers from various area firms. It was a lot of fun talking to them and reminding them about last year, about what happened in the economy and the markets. And I just did a casual survey about how many of you went to cash on like April 9th of 2025. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the bottom of the market back then. They went to cash, and at what point did they get back in? Many of them have not yet gotten back into the markets.
Yeah. And look at this rally that we've had.
Exactly.
So trying to time the market, we often say, is you have to be right twice, not once. One to get out and one to get back in. It's very, very difficult. And we look at the numbers of it, and very few people ever get it right. A client or a friend might say, oh, yeah, I got it right. But, you know, let's look at the performance that really happened.
Yeah, it reminds me of talking to people who they've gone to like a casino, if they've gone to Vegas or they've gone to an area casino. And they always talk about their winnings. How much did they win? They never talk about the net amount. How much did you lose to get to that point? And we do tend to, I think, try to almost, it's a form of, I believe in psychology, they call it self-justification.
Right.
After the fact, you justify the action that you took, maybe think that you did a little bit better. And this is one of the reasons where you look at what happened in the overall market. Let's say the S&P 500 year to date is up around, you know, like 8 to 10%. How much of that did you actually get to experience because you stuck with it? Or were you in and out of the market, so maybe you only picked up a few nickels when there were quarters on the offer?
And so we often talk about friction. And the friction, there's two pieces of friction that we'd like to lower, and that is, one, the cost of managing the portfolio, number one, and number two, taxation. Mm. When you are super active, those two things tend to go up, and that hurts your performance.
That's right. And over the years, the first one in terms of the transaction fees have come down. I'm sure you remember a period when the brokerage costs.
When I started, mutual funds would pay an 8.5% commission to the broker. Right? I mean, it was
crazy.
Yeah,
and that comes from what you put in, basically.
That's right. And came off the top. So, so now you have 92.5% of the money that you started with. So obviously, thank goodness that has gone away. And that all those transaction costs have been mitigated severely.
Yeah. Now, one of the problems is that we have seen with the lower cost, people are now more tempted to trade more. Right. And in fact, Morningstar, they had published some great research about this, how individuals who invest purely through ETFs, they tend to transact more than individuals who do it through mutual funds, where it's more once a day, where you can do the trading a little bit. You put a few obstacles in a person's way and they're going to do less of the action, right? So it kind of makes sense. But yeah, that first one, as far as the cost of actually doing the investing, and then when we get into the tax dimension of it, that's where I think it really does pay to look at what's the turnover, right? How often are you churning that portfolio, and what part of those returns ultimately go to the government, either through short-term capital gains taxes or through long-term capital gains taxes.
Now, we talked about products, but you know, structure is really important part of this. And how would you reduce the emotional reactions of building a portfolio?
Yeah, so for me, I think a great way is to have a plan and execute on the plan and to trust the process. It's something that we talked about with Kent earlier, Kent Helene, who is on the wealth management team, about trusting the process, where if you check in periodically to say, am I on track with my financial goals? Maybe don't do the keeping up with the Joneses mentality about, oh, what did I do relative to the overall market? That's a good thing to look at, but it's not the end of the story. Just where are you relative to your plan? So set that plan, have a portfolio that's structured to be aligned with that plan. And maybe that means actually having the approach that we take, which is something that you've been doing for more than 25 years, which is you have a core part of your portfolio that is geared towards the long-term allocation, aligned with that plan. And then if you can add value, either through enhancing returns or managing the risks, make that a smaller part of the portfolio, right? So that core tactical approach that you've really institutionalized here, I think in my mind is one of the best ways to kind of stay invested and stay aligned with those financial goals.
Awesome. So just lastly, looking ahead, a lot of big news coming up, not only Micron's earnings, which could be bizarre, right?
How good they're
going to be, but we got PCE inflation coming out. You got jobless claims. You got GDP revision, so a lot of economic news as well.
There is. There's always something exciting to talk about, which is why you have to tune back in.
Another episode of Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. The podcast is ready right now on the radio station website, or just search Annex Money Talk. For Dave Spano and Dr. Brian Jacobson, I'm Joe Kraus. Have a great week. Join us again next Saturday at 10 a.m. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Advice and opinions expressed during Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, are solely that of the hosts or guests of Annex Wealth Management and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.